Pastor Brian and I have been here. We are the family pastors here at the church, and we've been here a little over a year and a half, and we have a big history here. We met here. We were here 10 years ago, but this is our home. This is where we belong, and this is where God is using and stretching us in big ways. And I prayed before I come up here, God, you got to take the tears, because I want people to be able to understand me and hear me. But this morning, this is a big step for me. I do not pride myself in being a speaker. And even all week I've said, and you'll hear my story, Lord, I can't do this. I can't do this. I'm not strong enough. I'm not enough. But God said, yes, you are. So this morning, sorry, I'm trying to keep the tears. I just want to be a little transparent with you today. Some of the things that I've been through and I've walked through to allow God to use me. This week I did a little bargaining with God. And I know you're probably not supposed to do that. But I was like, Lord, if you do this, then I'll do it. So I told God this week, if you do this, then I'll do that. But only if you do this. And I know we're not supposed to do that. But my little flesh got in the way, and that's what I did. So since Tuesday, I've known I'm supposed to be up here and to speak. Tuesday morning, I was walking, and I was talking, and I was praying, and the Lord said, I've got something for you, and I want you to share it. And he gave it to me, and I said, okay, I'll do ministry moment. I'll do that, but I'm not going to volunteer myself. They've got to ask me. So if this is really from you, God, because my self-doubt, Lord, is this just me or is this you? If it's really you, God, they will ask me to do ministry moment. And since Tuesday, I've had a heaviness, a burden. I didn't have peace. But I said, God, if you want me to do it, I'll do it. Wednesday come along, and Brian says, hey, why don't you speak? Why don't you teach? I was like, oh, no, that's you. You're on the schedule this week. That's not me. I can't do that. And I walked away, and a little prick came. And God said, hello. And I said, ah. I said, I do ministry moment. He said, speak, so he didn't ask me. He didn't do what I said. So I'm continuing this week to struggle, and I'm getting up every day, and I'm walking, and I'm talking with him. And Friday come along, and I've seen Brian struggle this week in getting the word, the message. But again, I said, I'm not enough. I can't do this. And Friday night, when we laid our heads to bed, he said, Melissa, I need you to pray for me because I have nothing. I said, okay, I'll pray with you. I'll pray for you. And then I'm laying there like, Lord, you got to give him something. You got to give him my message. Give him something, because he needs you, Lord. At Friday, I knew that I was supposed to do this, but I got up Saturday morning. Again, I walked, and I was talking, and I said, okay, God, what do I do? What do you want me to do? And he said, all I'm asking of you is not to talk for me, not to speak for me, but to allow me to speak through you, to speak through you, to be used as a vessel. And I said, okay, I'm going to do this. I went back in the house, and I told Brian, he was at the computer trying to do something, trying to get his notes together, and I said, all right, you do ministry moment, I'll speak. He's like, whoa, hold on, like, you got to get something. I said, I've had it since Tuesday. So that's why I'm here this morning, because not by my self-will, because I feel like God has called me for this time and this purpose. And I know that he loves me enough that he wouldn't ask me to do anything that was not of him. But 100% committed myself to him Saturday, and the burden and the heaviness and the weight that I felt throughout the week was immediate release, and complete peace came over me. I was thinking, all right, God, you've got to use me, but this is going to stretch me, but I'm going to surrender totally to you. I almost missed out of an opportunity to serve my Father and to be used by him, because of fear and self-doubt. So I ask that today you don't see me as Melissa or Pastor Brian's wife or the children of my kids, but only as a vessel of Christ. And I don't believe that everyone here in the body, here in the church, so thankful to be with you today and online. I'm glad that you're visiting with us today. But I do not believe that you are here on accident, that you online just didn't click on the church at Covington and say, oh, I'll check it out. I believe you're here by appointment because you're the ones that are supposed to hear this message, because he gave it to me for you. But through giving that to me, I had to go through some struggles and some things myself. I didn't time this message because then I was afraid if it was too long, I'd have to cut some stuff out. Or if it was too short, I'd have to hurry and find something else to add, because I said, God, I'm just going to give what you put on my heart, however long that may be. I know y'all are probably hoping it's more 15 minutes than an hour, so I will do my best. But my message today is be strong in the Lord. In the Bible, there are several stories of men and women that were used because they were fit men or they were strong. In Leviticus, in the Old Testament, on the Day of Atonement, it was a day that families came to the priest. The husbands and the wives and the kids came to the priest, and they repented of their sins and they confessed their sins before him. And the priest had two goats on that day. He had a goat that symbolized the Lord's goat, and it was for the sacrifice of sin. The second goat was a goat to be set free as the symbol of the removal of their sin. We know now that was the Old Testament. Today, that Jesus died on our cross and that he is forgiven us of our sin and has removed our sin from us. But back in the day, that's what they had, two goats. And so the Lord's goat would be sacrificed. But the second goat, the goat that was for the removal of the sins, it says in the Bible, a fit man had to carry that heavy goat and the heaviness and the sins and the confessions of the people in their tribe or their community. He had to carry that goat through the wilderness. He had to go this way and that way and over streams and through briars and to go far out as he can so that sin would not come back into the camp. God used a fit man for this purpose. We all know the story of Samson. He was a Nazarite that was full of strength that he received from God. God used him to conquer enemies, to slay lions with his bare hands. He even defeated an entire army of Philistines by himself. God called and used his strength for a specific purpose. In Exodus 17, when Joshua was fighting against the Amalekites, he was on the battlefield. Joshua was on the battlefield, and he was physically fighting the army. But Moses was on the hill, and he was physically and spiritually fighting this battle. So as Joshua was down fighting physically, Moses was standing there with the staff of God in his hands. And through that staff of God is where God intervened on Joshua's behalf. Could you imagine having to stand there? Even if you just hold your hands up for a couple of hours or 30 minutes, they begin to get tired. And then he had the staff of God as well. God used his strength. And it says in the Bible that when the staff of God began to lower, when Moses began to get weak, the army of the Amalekites began to defeat Joshua's army. So he was called to hold that staff of God up for the purpose of God intervening for victory in Joshua's army. But when he began to get tired, his son Aaron and his friend Herb saw that his arms began to weaken. So they came to him. He didn't ask for help. They came to him without being asked. They gave him a stone to sit on, and on each side, they held Moses' hands up to hold the staff of God up until the army was defeated. God used Moses' and Aaron and Hur's strength for a purpose. In 1 Corinthians 6:19-20, it says, "Or do you not know that the body is the temple of the Holy Spirit who is in you, whom you have from God? And you are not of your own, for you are bought at a price. Therefore, glorify God in your body and in your spirit, which are God's. So God there tells us that our bodies here, these vessels and our spirits, are not our own. They are His. So why would we not commit ourselves wholly, physically and spiritually, to His will? Because this is not ours. It is His. We are called to be physically and spiritually strong in the Lord. And today I am not here to tell you what fitness plan to join or how to eat or how to get healthy. But I'm telling you that God needs you physically and spiritually strong to fight the spiritual battles around us. But just as we can become physically unfit, we can become spiritually unfit. And that's a place that I found myself not too long ago. In our world right now, there are spiritual battles raging around us. I believe the times that we are living in, the things that we are seeing, they're spiritual. They're spiritual. And it's our duty as men and women of God to stand and fight in this battle. I don't want to get so comfortable, and this is where I became a little unfit, that I got so comfortable of seeing the same old news on TV or hearing of the same stories of the riots or the hatefulness or the greediness of the world. I get so used to hearing that I say, well, that's just the world we live in. That's not the world we live in. I do not want to get insensitive when I hear the numbers of babies being aborted daily. I do not want to not grieve lost souls. I do not want to not cry or shed a tear for the pain that this world is in, because that's just what the world is. That's what we live in now. I do not want to become insensitive to these spiritual battles. In the past 6 months, I thought I was going through a physical battle. I thought it was all physical, what I was going through. And the Lord had to shake me and wake me up and said, this is spiritual. I need to show you some things. So if you know me, anything about me, I love my sleep. Brian calls me sleep Nazi. My kids know, do not wake me. I need my rest. I've needed it as a child, and still to this day, I love my sleep. To the point where we were talking in the car one day, and the kids said, what's your favorite part of the day? And everybody's saying, oh, this and this. And I said, oh, the moment I get to lay in my bed and put my head on my pillow and go to sleep. That's the best part of the day. But about 6 months ago, that had been stripped away from me. I was going through stages and spells where I was not sleeping. I was going nights without sleeping. I was going nights with sleeping on little hours, very few. So that physically began to affect me. I felt weak. I was tired, exhausted. And I said, I just can't do anything. I don't know what's wrong with me. I'm not being the mother, the wife that God's called me to be, because I need my sleep. I need my sleep, and once I get my sleep, once I get my rest, I'll be strong enough, I'll be good. And I battled with it for about 6 months, and the Lord finally began to deal with me, because I'm like, God, I finally, instead of saying, okay, once I get my sleep, I'll feel better, I finally said, okay, God, what is wrong? And He said, where does your comfort lie? And I'm like, well, my sleep, you know that, my sleep. He said, that's not where your comfort should lie. Where does your comfort lie? Is it in your parents? Is it in your children or your spouse or your hobby or social media? Where does your comfort lie? Mine lied in rest. I even to the point where I would say, okay, God, I am not strong enough. I'm too tired to read your words because my eyes get heavy. So when you give me rest, I'll read my word more. Or I'm too tired to worship because my arms are exhausted because I haven't slept in nights. I had given in to that. And that was just a lie of Satan. So God said, this is what I want you to do. I want you to get up with me at 6 o'clock tomorrow morning. I want you to walk and talk with me. And I was like, Lord, you know I can't do that. I don't get up at 6 o'clock unless I have to get up at 6 o'clock. But I said, okay, I'm going to set my alarm, and I'm going to get up at 6, and I'm going to come see you. Well, that night, I did not sleep. At 5 o'clock, I woke up, and I said, God, I'm turning my alarm off because I've only slept a couple of hours, and I promise I will get up, and I will meet with you, and I'll speak with you, and we'll talk, and we'll have a good time, but let me get a few more hours of sleep. But if you want me to get up at 6, you have to wake me up. Again, I'm bargaining with God. 5:55, I woke straight up, and the Lord said, come on, I get up. So I got up, and I began to walk. I walk up and down our road, and I put praise and worship music on, or I'll listen to a sermon, or I'll just, you know, stand there and or walk and pray with God. And that's when he began to strip away the things that I was putting my comfort in. That's when he began to strip away my physical eyes and allowed me to see the things that are going on spiritually, not only in my home, but in this world and in our nation. He began to show me things that I needed to be burdened for, that I needed to be praying for. He showed me where my cares and concerns should be. And once I fully gave him my attention, that next morning, I woke up stronger. I woke up with peace. I felt rested and at ease, and I had only gotten a couple more hours of sleep. But I had his presence. And I had committed to him. And so I said, Lord, how do I continue to grow spiritually strong in you? Show me. And he gave me three things that I'm going to share with you today. He said, first of all, he said, I want your praise. He wants our praise. Pastor Darrell's in a series on praise. And I love praise and worship just about as much as I love sleep. Psalms 34, 1 through 4 says, I will bless the Lord at all times. His praise shall continually, not just when it's good, not just when it's bad, but continually be in my mouth. My soul shall make its boast in the Lord. The humble shall hear of it and be glad. Oh, magnify the Lord with me, and let us exalt his name together. I sought the Lord. He heard me and delivered me from my fears. Another verse, Psalms 63:3-4 says, because your love is better than life, my lips will glorify you. I will praise you as long as I live, and I will lift up my hands. Praise and worship ushers in the Holy Spirit of God. This morning, his presence was so heavy in here during worship. Why do you think we start off with worship? Because we want to usher in his Holy Spirit. Because we don't come here just to hear a sermon or hear a song, but we come here for God to speak to our hearts and to change our lives. And when we come in his presence, when we stand in his praise, we take the focus off of ourselves and we put it on him. Instead of me, 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 this is what I need. When you go to him and pray and you say, me, 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 God. When we begin to say, you, 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 and we praise him, that's when his Holy Spirit comes. Do not be distracted in worship. Do not be distracted of things around you or even yourself. But give God your full attention when you praise and worship him. When you have everything, you worship him. When you have nothing, you worship him. And when you begin to do that, you'll see the mountains before you begin to move. God works through our praise. I have a funny story. I wish I could sing. I really do. I would get up here and sing my heart out, but that would really hurt your ears. But a funny story, we live next door to our cousins and my parents and my sister, and so they call it a compound. We all kind of live together. And we had a little cookout planned because we've kind of been quarantined together. We just stay up on our heel. We had a little cookout planned, and we got together and we ate. And after we ate, one of us said, "I just need you to pray. I need you to pray. Let's come together and let's pray. I need you." So we begin to pray as adults. We begin to pray and cried out, and the Holy Spirit fell. And we begin to read scripture and just lift up his name and bring some concerns before the Lord. And it was good. It was so good. It felt wonderful. Then the men left, and it was just left with us some women in here. And somebody said, "I think we're supposed to sing. I feel like we need to sing Holy Ground." We all kind of look like this, because it's me in there, my sister, and she might can sing a little bit better than me. And my mama, we don't even know if she can sing, because she whisper sings, because she said she can't sing. And then my cousin was there, and if you think I'm country, you don't know country. So we all kind of was like, "Oh, who gonna start? You gonna start?" But we began to sing, and we sang Holy Ground. And as that might have hurt our ears, I believe it was sweet praises to our Father. It was sweet to him in the heavens and to his angels, and it was good. And we just continued to sing, and we say, "What about this song? What about this song?" Then we got tickled at ourselves because we sounded so bad. But I believe in that time and that praise, God allowed some things to work in all of our lives. So God not only wants our praise, God wants our prayer. The Bible says in 1 Thessalonians 5:16 through 18, "Rejoice always, pray without ceasing, never stop. In everything give thanks, for this is the will of God in Christ Jesus in you." I love Jeremiah 33:3. It says, "Call to me, and I will answer you." And not only will he answer us, but he said, "I will show you great and mighty things which you do not know." He says, "I will show you great and mighty things that we can't see in the physical eye." He said, "I want to show you things you do not know in the spiritual." If you spend time with God and you talk with him, he will show you great and mighty things. His word promises us if we pray, he hears us and he listens. When we pray, we are called to pray for ourselves, but we're also called to pray for the others. Who needs you to stand in the gap for them and their weakness? Are you strong enough? Are you strong enough to stand in the gap of the ones that are too weak? Are you strong enough to be a prayer warrior that God's called you to be? Are you listening so God can use you? I have another funny story, and this one is a little crazy. But so a few years ago, I felt like I was praying the same thing over and over. I was praying for my kids. I was praying for my husband. And you know the things in your own life, and if you hear of something somebody's going through, or you know, a death in another family, you know, you lift them up as well. But I just felt like for days I was praying the same thing for the same people. So one day I said, "God," and he will get you sometimes. I said, "God, I'm going to allow you to tell me who to pray for. I'm going to listen and I'm going to wait on you. And I just want you to give me somebody who needs me to stand in the gap for them today." So I waited a couple minutes, and you will not believe. First name came to my head, Britney Spears. I said, "Okay, am I getting a little distracted? Am I just, my mind's going somewhere? You know, God, is that you? Like, Britney Spears, I don't know her. You know, I don't know." And I said, "Okay, I'm going to go for it." So I began to pray over that girl, that daughter of the king. I began over that, pray over that precious child. I began over to begin to mourn and be burdened for her. I was saddened for her, and I wept, and I cried over her, and I prayed that God would move in her life in ways that she could never understand, and that God would put people in her life that could show her the things of God. And I prayed and I got it all out. At the end, I said, God, what was that about? Like, why did you pick her? Like, why her? And he said, because she needs and you listen. Another story I want to tell you about, of a pastor that had come a few years ago when we were younger at the church. He told a story that one morning, early praying, the Lord said, I want you to go to the hospital. And he said, I don't know anybody at the hospital, but I'll go. And so he went to the hospital. The Lord gave him the room number. He went and knocked on the door. A sweet little voice said, come in. And he opened the door, and there was an elderly woman, and the first thing that came out of her mouth was, well, it's about time you got here. She had been praying for God to send someone to her to pray with her and to pray over some other needs. So he spent time with her. He prayed with her. And when he left, he said, Lord, why did you send me? And he said, the Lord told him, you were the only one listening this morning. He wants our prayers, people. He wants us to listen. And he wants to fight not just for ourselves, but for others. So he wants our praise. He wants our prayer. And he wants our priority. Matthew 6:33, it says, but seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things will be added to you. He didn't say, when you wake up in the morning, go to Facebook and see what's going on for the day. He didn't say, run to your spouse or your parents in times of needs. But he said, seek him first. You know, it can be easy to put idols before God. God is a jealous God. And he said to put no other idols, no other gods before him. And it's easy to do that. Sometimes we fall into that trap and we don't even realize that we've put our children before him. Because he's called us to be a mother. And we get so wrapped up in our children that we put them before God. I had put my sleep before God. I had idolized my sleep. It came so important to me that it took time away from him. But God stripped that away from me, and I pray daily that the idols that stand before me are in my life, that God will reveal those to me so that in everything he will be put first. Put him first, and he will give you all that you need. So in closing, well, that's pretty fast. Yeah, y'all got the 15-minute version. In closing, let me ask you, are you physically and spiritually strong enough to fight for God? Are you strong enough to stand in the gap for others? Are you strong enough to fight the pornography in your home, the infidelity in your marriage? Are you strong enough to fight for the drug or alcohol-addicted child in your life? Are you spiritually strong enough to stand in the gap for those that you love, to fight against depression and suicide? Are you strong enough to fight against the things that this world has become? Are you strong enough to fight for the aborted or the children sold into slavery or the children being abused? Are you strong enough to fight for the lost? These are all hard battles. These are battles that are raging. These are spiritual battles that are all around us, not just in our world, in our nation, in our community, but in our homes. These are spiritual battles that God has called us to. You are called to stand in the gap, to praise through the darkness, to pray without ceasing, and to put God first. And that is how the battle is won. Amen. Woo. God help me. It was only by the power of God that I stand here before you today. And there's nothing more that Satan would like to see than to see you and me to shy away from the call that God has given us, from self-doubt and fear. to say I'm not enough. But I want to fall on my knees, and when I do and I begin to pray, I want Satan to begin to tremble because he is afraid, because he knows that I will call upon my God and my God will listen and he will move mountains and he will show me things, not in the physical but in the spiritual. Amen? Satan knows is if we become prayer warriors and we stand on that battle and we not only fight physical battles but the spiritual that are raging around us in this world, in our homes, if we begin to fight, that the victory is already ours, that he is already defeated and under our feet. He does not want us to be spiritually strong. I want my praise, my worship to ring in his ears. I never want to stop. I want him to know that the kingdom of darkness cannot stand up against me and my family, cannot stand up against you as a prayer warrior, cannot stand up against you and your family. I'm ready for battle, are you? Amen. There was a song that, this is just added this morning, a song that's been on repeat, and a song that came to mind this morning. It's called Worthy. And it says, you thought I was worth saving, so you came and changed my life. I would sing it, but you thought I was worth keeping, so you cleaned me up inside. You thought I was to die for, so you sacrificed your life, so I could be free, so I could be whole, and so that I could tell everybody that I know. You are all enough. You are all worthy of the cause that God has given us. So if I can just ask that everybody please stand. And if you are here today or online and you say, I am not strong enough. I'm going through a battle and I am weak and it's too hard for me. Then I want to take a moment to pray over you. If you're here and you want to make your way to the altar, I'd like to pray over you. Or if you're at home and you said, I need strength and I need prayer, then I ask that you just stand up and lift your hands. Because we are all called to be physically and spiritually strong. If you're here and you say, I am ready to fight with you. I'm ready to stand in that battle. I am strong enough. Then I want you to lift your hands for the ones that are not. That you lift your hands like Aaron and Hur, and you hold those hands up of Moses as he holds the rod of God, the staff of God up. If you are strong enough, that you hold the hands of your children and your family and your parents and your loved ones, and you hold up this world because you are strong enough. You are strong enough. Lord, we just love you and we praise you, God, for you are the Lord Almighty God. Lord, our strength is in you. Our hope is in you, God. We are worthy enough because you have called us. We are enough because you have given us everything that we need. So God, we stand here and say, Lord, as we pray and we praise and we give you everything, that God, you hear our cries and you listen. And not only do you listen, but God, that you show us the things in our life, the idols in our life that need to be stripped away. You show us, Lord, not the physical, but the spiritual battles that are raging in our homes and in this nation, in our world, God, that you will show us. And that you will even, Lord, show us how to pray. Where our heart and our concern should be, God. We want to fight this battle for you, Lord. Because your kingdom is to come, God. Your kingdom is to come. We love you, Lord. We praise your holy name. and we thank you, God. We give you the praise already because the victory has already been made. We glorify your holy name, God, for you are worthy. We thank you, Jesus, in your precious name.